We want to read just a few verses from Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and we'll read just from verse 13 to 16. Matthew 5, and we'll start at verse 13. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. Verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. And we pray that the Lord will just help us tonight as we look at this verse. We just want to look at the verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." You know, God gives his children various names in the Bible. And when Jesus used the name salt, he was reminding us that we have an opportunity and an influence in the world, even today around us. And when you and I are living out the standards of the Lord Jesus in our lives, we will be like salt and light, these verses has told us here. But we want to just dwell on the salt. We want to look at God's children being called salt. You know, salt is found some 40 times in the Bible. Salt in the Bible is said to be a symbol of a binding covenant. In Leviticus 2 verse 13, we read, "On every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from the meat offering. Thou shalt offer salt." So we see salt is very important, even in the Bible. It is also a healing and a cleansing aid. In 2 Kings 2 and verse 20, "And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and he cast salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day." You know, salt, it improves the appetite. For Job 6 verse 6 says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" Salt is a promoter of peace. In Mark 9 and verse 50, we read, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another." So, salt is also an evidence of grace. For in Colossians 4 and verse 6 we read, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man." So we just want simply to look at this description that the Lord himself used concerning his people. We have a description here first of all. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. In verse 13, you know, people in general don't realize the importance of salt in maintaining the life and health of their bodies. You know, there's that, always that exact percentage of it in our bloodstream. And any great deviation from this amount can result in sickness and even death. We are called salt also because of our preserving ability. You know, you think of it. Salt wards off rot and decay. When rubbed into meat in an effort to preserve it, what it is that preserves our nation today, just think of it. What is it that preserves our nation today from the judgment of Almighty God? Surely it's the presence and the prayers of God's people. For in Proverbs 14, verse 34, we read, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So it's very important for God's people even to remember our nation. For righteousness exalteth a nation. And surely we want to see our nation exalted. We need to be praying daily for God's grace for those that are trying to lead the nation even at this time. We are called salt because of our penetrating ability. You think of salt, it penetrates whatever it touches. It's an aggressive substance. Look at the early church there in the Acts 8 and in verse 17 we read that they were scattered abroad. And then we read they turned the world upside down. What mighty work they did. They turned the world upside down for God. You know, we are called salt because of our purifying ability. You know, salt has a remarkable cleansing ability. If we just turn with me to 2 Kings in chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 19. 2 Kings 2 and verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, and my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and he cast salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Elisha cleansed the waters at Jericho. And with salt, in ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and to give firmness to their skin. You'll find that in Ezekiel 16, verse 4. But salt in a wound can cleanse the area. And you know, often Christians have a purifying effect on the world around them. They ought to behave differently. When the child of God goes up or into a group of unbelievers and they stop talking, we ought not to be offended if they stop talking when we come into their company. You can just thank God that you're that purifying effect even in that force around you. And you can praise God for his hand even upon you. You know, every meat offering was to be made with salt, as we noticed there in Leviticus 2 and 13. And we have to offer our lives as an offering to the Lord. We're told there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we have to present our lives as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is only our reasonable service. We are called salt too because of our pleasing ability. You know, we have to bring out the best. Salt blends and adds flavour to food. Salt brings out the best in your food. It blends and adds that flavour to the food. So we as Christians of God should flavour those around us. As salt, we are to live as to bring out the best, even in others. As we live and work, are we living and working to please God, our Saviour, and for His glory? And Philippians 1, verse 27, we read, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We have to be those that will stand fast, striving together. It's for the faith of the gospel. That's what it's all about, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called salt because of our poisoning ability. You might think that's a strange one, but how true it is. Salt kills some things. You pour salt on a slug, it'll not last long. Salt poured on a lawn will kill the grass. And too much salt is not good for your blood pressure. Judges 9:45. Just turn over to Judges 9:45. Judges 9:45. "And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city, and he slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city, and sowed it with salt." See what Abimelech did? He sowed it with salt to prevent the ground from growing crops. He killed the fields with salt. And by the same token, we, when we're living out through Christianity in our lives, sowing into the lives, into the homes, into the communities, some things will be put to death. Remember what we're told when Christ comes into the life, sinful things must go. They must be put to death. For 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "All things pass away, and behold, all things become new." We are called salt because of our promoting ability. You know, salt creates a thirst for water. And I'm very thirsty now at the minute. But salt creates a thirst for water. And as salt, the child of God, has a wonderful opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus Christ. When you think of it, in this world. Remember what the Lord told us in John 7, verse 37. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Think of that living water. And we, when we live as we ought to live, you know, more like Christ, we live right, we look right, we act right, we talk right, we worship right, we dress right, we have the ability to create a thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. And we are promoting that thirst for the Saviour. Or do the ungodly look upon us at times and they would say, that we are living just as good as them, that those that attend church, those that attend the prayer meeting. And you know, in some cases, they could be right. So we have to live above reproach and create a thirst for God. We are called salt because of our proven ability. Salt changes almost everything it touches. We are to be vessels that God can use. In the Acts 2, the early church continued, we read, steadfastly in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That must have been sometime. It says, fear came upon every soul, praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But we've noticed very briefly the description that the Lord used in this verse. But there's another part to the verse. There's a danger here to avoid. It says, if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? You know, salt was very valuable in the ancient world. It's so valuable that the Roman legions, they were paid their wages with salt. You know, that's where the expression comes from, is not worth his salt. That's where it all comes from. And, you know, it is possible for salt in that day to lose its flavour. The salt used there was far different from that we use today. It would have been mixed, what would have been mined from the salt cliffs along the Dead Sea, some 7 miles long and several hundred feet high. Or it would have been taken from the Dead Sea. Either way, it was always mixed with mineral or vegetable matter. But when this was exposed to the elements, or when it touched the earth, the salt lost its salty taste. And even the surface salt that was dug from the cliffs were disregarded because exposure to the light. It was rendered tasteless. And the tasteless salt lost all the qualities that made it so valuable and sought after. And there's a great lesson here, I believe, for you and for me. For each one of us, it's possible for each child of God to lose their saltiness, to lose that saltness. As well, just as the salt in the ancient times come into close contact with the world. When we get more like the world than we are like the Lord, we have lost that thing that sets us apart and makes us valuable to the Lord's work. And you know, too often we allow our wells to get filled in. Genesis 26. Turn with me to Genesis 26 and verse 15. Genesis 26 and verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants have digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gior and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found their wells of springing water. And that's what we need in these days. We need the wells of living water bubbling up and flowing even among us. seen the description very simply and the danger to avoid. But there's a destiny to abhor. You know, in ancient times when salt lost its savour, it was cast out into the footpaths and roads. In other words, to be trodden under foot of men. And you know, every child of God would need to understand when we lose our saltiness and cease to function as salt in the world, then we have become good for nothing, just like the salt. And while we cannot lose our salvation, we can lose our usefulness to the Lord and to his work. When this happens, we are like the salt that has lost its savour and are trodden under foot of men. When we are living for the Lord, men may not like us, but there's often not respect for our testimony. But when we allow our testimony to become tainted by sin and the world, then men will walk upon our testimony. We become useless to the Lord as a vessel of witness. Remember, Paul always had this in mind. Paul preached the gospel. There was no better preacher. But what did he say? This always existed in his mind for him. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27 we read. He feared. He says, I myself should be a castaway. Although he preached the gospel with all his might, he still had this fear in his mind. He says, I myself should be a castaway. And we can all say that there go I, but for the grace of God. And we can just praise God for his grace toward each one of us. And the Lord enable each and every one of us to have that saltiness within us continually in our lives, that we may live for him and for his glory. For ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? And may we cry to God that he'll keep us ever fresh for him, and even have that cutting edge all the time and on fire for God, and not let Satan get in and ruin our testimony.